This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. A brand new week for TalkBack. It is, as they said, tax day. It's Monday, April the 15th. And TalkBack this morning is brought to you by Phillips Janitorial. Need your home and or your business clean? Here's the number to call. Because no job is too big or small for Phillips. Here's that number, 406-260-6617. Also brought to you by Y West Storage, located out at the Y on Two Smokes Way. If you want to know about pricing and if they have a unit for you, call 406-510-0590, because at Y West, we're making room for you. And by Harrington Surgical Supply, where you can feel confident in their discreet and knowledgeable guidance on a multitude of products and medical supplies.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Well, we do have a very special program of TalkBack this morning. Nick is out today, but I'll be handling the producer and the host deal. So if I'm running around pushing buttons, you'll know what happens. This is a very special presentation. Dr. Mirdad Kia joining us. Dr. Michael Mayer here in the studio. Ordinarily, this would be KGVO Book Club Day.
Right. We were supposed to do Jim McPherson's For Cause and Comrades, which we will do at a later date.
Yes, sir. But today, of course, obviously what we want to talk about, and I know, Mirdad, I spoke with you about this late Saturday night as well, is the attack by Iran on Israel came about as threatened. And so I realize it came, it went, and now we're all looking back on what happened. So I know you. First thing you want to do, and the timing is absolutely unreal again for the unrest in the Middle East, and you will be addressing just that starting tomorrow. Is that correct?
That is correct. Good morning, Peter. We really appreciate having the opportunity to be with you and all your good listeners. So we will have a one-day conference tomorrow, which will start at 12:30 afternoon, early afternoon. And all these events are, by the way, open and free to the public. And they will be held at the University Center Theater, which is the third floor of the University Center building at the University of Montana campus. And we will start with a very interesting panel on Afghanistan, Chechnya, and Egypt. The panel will be chaired by our good friend and colleague and co-director of the center at the Central and Southwest Asian Studies Center, Professor Ardi Kia. Then at 2 o'clock, we will have Mike and our good friend Bob Seidenschwartz and myself talking about this war. And it's called In the Shadow of a War, Israel, Iran, Hamas, the United States, and Russia. That's about an hour or so, a little bit over an hour panel on the whole situation that we are confronting today. And then at 3:30, we have a wonderful panel again. Bob will be moderating that one, but the presenter will be our very good friend and colleague, Jennifer Warren, who is coming all the way from Texas. She's the founder of Concept Elemental. I think you had Jennifer on a radio show recently with Bob, and she will be here in person at the university. But we have now the honor of hosting also India's Consul General to Northwest United States, Parakesh Gupta, at 7 o'clock. And you know, India plays a very important role in the context of these conflicts in the region, but also with its own conflict with China and Pakistan. So we have a top-notch Indian diplomat with us about an hour or so from 7 in the evening. And again, all these events are free and open to the public. and they will be held at the University Center Theater, which is the third floor of the University Center building on the UM campus.
All right, with that, we're up against our first break. We already have a caller waiting to get on this. We haven't even introduced the topic yet, so we're going to do that when we come back from the break. We'll try to get Buck's call as soon as possible. And again, this is a special edition of Talk Back this morning. We're talking about what happened over the weekend with Iran attacking Israel with drones and rockets, and the response and the aftermath is what we're visiting about today. So we're going to come right back after this timeout.
Dennis Bragg with your updated Town Square weather forecast. After near-record temperatures on the weekend, it's partly sunny skies and cooler today with a few clouds at times and highs into the mid-60s. The main feature is going to be winds gusting as high as 25 miles per hour, and that will mean some very choppy conditions on Flathead Lake, so boaters should exercise caution. A repeat on Tuesday, a mix of sun and cloud, gusty winds cooling back to 50, then a chance of rain and higher elevation snow showers moves in Tuesday night into Wednesday across western Montana.
Okay, we're back on Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. Dr. Mirdad Kia joining us on the phone. Dr. Michael Mayer here in the studio this morning, a special edition would be the KGVO Book Club today. But today we're discussing international events, and the biggest, of course, was this weekend. So, Mirdad, Michael, take it away.
Yeah, so on Saturday, as all our listeners know by now, Iran launched hundreds of drones, ballistic and cruise missiles at Israel in what has been described as unprecedented revenge attack. And supposedly this attack was a response to the Israeli attack about a little bit over 2 weeks ago against a building in Syria where a group of Iranian security and military commanders were meeting in order to plan their next moves against Israel. And these six or seven commanders were the ones who basically represented Iran in negotiations and in providing support for Hamas in Gaza and for Hezbollah, the Party of God in Lebanon, the two proxies of Iran, which are armed and funded by Iran. Israel struck, and all six commanders died in that attack. And from then on, the supreme leader of Iran, Ali Khamenei, and his military commanders were swearing to exact revenge for this attack, and the revenge came on Saturday. But look at the revenge. There are six commanders who have been killed. Now you are attacking with hundreds of drones, ballistic and cruise missiles, against the entire country of Israel. But thankfully, 99% of the drones, the ballistic and cruise missiles, were intercepted by United States and Israel in a very sophisticated fashion. Two of them hit Israeli bases, but with minimum damage. The only real casualty, the irony of the situation, was actually an Arab girl who is now in critical condition, but for the most part, the human impact was minimum. However, one has to say that night when they attacked, Israel did not sleep because the Israeli citizens were asked to find shelter and safe haven where they can protect themselves in case one of these missiles hit their homes, apartment buildings, and whatever. So this is really a brazen attack by Iran. But I have to tell you, just my initial in one sentence, it has turned the table around. And I think so many of the world leaders who were criticizing Prime Minister Netanyahu are now rushing to condemn Iran and declare their support for the state of Israel.
Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the other thing that we might discuss or think about is that a number of people were saying that this was sort of telegraphed and they were hoping it wouldn't be a big deal and that they could say, look, we made a demonstration, we gave it a shot and let it go. But some of the stories that are out this morning, I think, cast doubt on that. It turns out, if the stories are correct, that that there were about twice as many rockets launched or rockets and vehicles launched, many misfired. And had they not, you know, it might have been a very different story, but it certainly causes one to question the idea that they really wasn't intended to do much damage. This was intended to do a lot of damage, I think.
Yeah. 50% almost of all the missiles either burnt up, you know, in the air, or actually a few of them hit unintended targets, apparently, inside Iran. Which shows that all this huff and puff and all these billions of dollars, which are taken from the Iranian economy and should have gone to improving the economic, social condition of the Iranian people, a collapsing healthcare system, a collapsing educational system, all this money is going to a war machine which these very dangerous clowns cannot even use in an effective fashion. And that's why there is a total outrage among the overwhelming majority of Iranians against this attack, because the Iranian people understand that Israel is not an enemy. The people of Israel are actually friends of the Iranian people. And that this is one more adventure by this dangerous regime, which only brings two countries, which need to be allies rather than adversaries, into a brink of open warfare.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break. We have Buck waiting to visit with you. Another call coming in. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Ooh, well, we will continue with this very important conversation right after this.
My wife and I both.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Calling all motivated leaders in the 406. Make an impact and become a positive role model to Montana youth. Join the team at Montana Youth Challenge Academy. Share in our mission of providing academic, professional, and life coping skills that students need for success. Full or part-time positions available. Enjoy competitive compensation and benefits. The day-to-day asks a lot, but it also has a lot to give. Apply online at statecareers.mt.gov.
Brought to you by Montana Youth Challenge Academy and this station.
Okay, we are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. And boom, the phone lines have exploded. A lot of people want to get in on this conversation with Dr. Mehrdad Kia, Dr. Michael Mayer. Mehrdad, you wanted to make a point before we get to our first call.
Yeah, so the only thing I wanted to say as we were going to the break was that though people are pointing out 99% of these drones, cruise and ballistic missiles, were intercepted, and only, I think, two hit the Nevatim air base in the Negev Desert in the south of Israel, damaging a C-130 cargo plane and a runway and several storage facilities. Think about this, that a regime which is willing to attack a country so far away from itself. Iran and Israel are not neighbors. Iran and Israel have no territorial disputes. If they're willing to go to this level of brazen attacks against Israel, can you imagine if they had nuclear capability and how dangerous they are? People always said, no, they're rational agents. They will never become involved in direct attacks against Israel. Well, guess what? We have been saying on this very show that they are not as rational as you think they are, and they are religious fanatics. And in order to fulfill their religious fanatical ideas, they might go all the way, and if they have nuclear capability, they can start the Third World War. And I'm saying this with no hesitation, because I know something about them and their ideology.
All right, let's get right to the phones. I believe Buck is first. Buck, good morning. You're on with Drs. Mirdad Key and Michael Mayer. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you. Like a lot of citizens, I think maybe I don't pay attention at the time. There's a lot going on. But specifically for Dr. Kia this morning, I think it's not inappropriate to the subject. I've never understood, way back in the Obama administration, they flew a plane load of cash to Iran, and Peter kindly looked it up last time. It was about $400 million equivalent,
yes,
in several currencies. But two questions. What was that for? Was it to release hostages or some such thing? And second, most important to my curiosity, why was it necessary to have a physical plane load of cash, which legitimate businesses and countries almost never do? They would just make a wire transfer. So why the plane load of cash? It was very strange.
All right.
Yes.
Thanks for the call.
It's an excellent question, Mark. Thank you very much for both of them. First and foremost, remember that with the arrival of the Biden, the Obama administration, and of course the Biden administration is more or less the replication of that administration, we decided to actually lift sanctions on Iran. And there is a group called the Crisis Group. You may look at them. It's funded by George Soros. And one of the leaders in that group was an old friend of President Obama, Robert Malley. They went to school together. And Robert Malley is also a very good friend of Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State. He was in charge of negotiating with Iran, but also there was a much larger group negotiating about a nuclear deal with Iran. And so much of that nuclear deal was based on the argument from Iran that they want all their frozen assets to be released, and that United States had to pay a large sum of money also to get the release of its hostages. These are mostly Iranian Americans who had gone to visit loved ones in Iran. A few of them were actually working as U.S. citizens in Iran. They had married Iranian citizens. They were also detained and held hostage. This is the official policy of Iran, that U.S. citizens can be held hostage, and Iran has the right to ask for ransom for their release. $400 million was just the beginning. During the Biden administration, we have released over $7 billion. And in addition, we have actually allowed Iran to sell oil in international markets, thus lifting sanctions on the sale of oil. And guess what? Iran has made something close to $99 billion in international oil markets. And if you're asking yourself, how does Hamas get all the money and all the arms, and how does Hezbollah get their money and arms in Lebanon, and how do the Houthis in Yemen get their money and arms? It's from the sale of Iranian oil in international markets. And that's why the joke in the Middle East is this war between Hamas and Israel has been funded on both sides by the United States. And this is the irony of the situation. I don't know if people in the White House were thinking that by appeasing Iran, you will have a normal state. I think the conclusion now reached by everyone with a little bit of understanding of the situation is this government in Tehran refuses to become a normal state.
Yeah, I think In addition to what Meridad said, the emphasis would be that, as Meridad said, that the money was Iranian money that had been frozen. It was an attempt to curry favor. They were looking forward toward what became the was widely known as the Iran nuclear deal. And the reason for physical cash is, I think, two reasons. One is the lack of trust. And the other is that Iran was under sanctions and didn't have access to the international banking community.
Yeah, exactly.
And with that, we are up against a break, and the phone calls are rolling in. So far, we have Steve, Emmett, Helena, Dave, and somebody else's calling. So we'll try to get as many of these calls in as we can, and we appreciate your interest. We'll be back right after this timeout.
Dennis Bragg with your updated Town Square weather forecast. After near-record temperatures on the weekend, it's partly sunny skies and cooler today, with a few clouds at times and highs into the mid-60s. The main feature is going to be winds gusting as high as 25 miles per hour, and that will mean some very choppy conditions on Flathead Lake, so boaters should exercise caution. A repeat on Tuesday, a mix of sun and cloud, gusty winds cooling back to 50, then a chance of rain and higher elevation snow showers moves in Tuesday night into Wednesday across western Montana.
Okay, we are back on TalkBack. Dr. Meridad Kia on the phone. Dr. Michael Mayer here in the studio. And let's see if Peter can push the right button here. And there we go. Steve, good morning. You are on, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, Meridad. I usually find myself in agreement with most everything you say. And I actually find myself in lockstep again with you here today on a lot of things that you've mentioned. The irrationality of not just the Iranians, but a lot of folks in the Middle East, including Israel. This is a spicy hotbed of different kind of cultures, but I can promise you, having worked over there and managed teams that told the customers over there, that it's a cult. All of these cultures in the Middle East are very unlike the United States. But one thing that I had to laugh at was you calling the Iranian leadership clowns because of all the money they spend on defense and how that's stripped away from the people and not spent on things like education and healthcare. And the reason I had to laugh is because it's pretty ironic, especially when you commented about the inside joke in the Middle East of the Israel-Hamas conflict being funded by the U.S. on both sides, is that if anyone in this country can't see that we have buffoons and clowns running our country, then they're out to lunch. I mean, we're doing the same thing here. I mean, what's the percentage of our gross domestic product that's spent on defense spending? It's enormous. The companies that are smiling today are Raytheon, Boeing, all of the military industrial complex vendors that we spend, 30%+ of our GDP on. They're having a happy day today. And I think it's just real important that listeners remember that it's our policies, it's our fiddling with other people's cultures, it's our interest in trying to determine outcomes that have created this problem. And since time immemorial, when we have done that, we have failed, especially in the Middle East. And so I think it's important for listeners to make sure their legislators, especially goofballs like Ryan Zinke, who will vote for a FISA warrantless search of American citizens, make sure those folks understand that endless spending on weapons to defend ourselves is money that is being poorly spent and should be spent on the people of our society that are in need of education, are in need of healthcare, are in need of the things that you mentioned, rather than warheads aimed at another country or tanks ready to be shipped to the Ukraine or fighter planes going to Finland or you name it. So anyway, thank you for your commentary. I find myself again in agreement and appreciate your time, but it's quite ironic, a lot of the things that we're talking about here in a lot of different ways. Dave, have a great day.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Meridad, go ahead.
Well, before we get to that, there's just one point of fact. We spend nothing like 30% of our GDP on defense. It's closer to 10. Just as a point of fact, we need to stick within the realm of reality here.
Okay. Meridad, go ahead.
I think that the issue of the military spending is a legitimate issue to discuss, and my emphasis, of course, was with the present situation in the Middle East region. And the fact that, you know, adding to what has been said, it's the first reaction of the regime in Iran after these attacks was actually sending its thugs and goons to the streets. These are supposedly security units going to the streets so as to prevent any demonstrations against the regime. This is how frightened this regime is. And the real enemy, though it is proclaimed to be Israel, which it is externally, the real enemy for these folks are the Iranian people who are fed up. And to sort of talk about this in the context of Steve's comments is that, you know, what I'm hearing from Iran, from inside Iran, overwhelmingly, almost 99.99%, is that this war is an illegitimate war. This war should end. And people of Iran and the people of Israel have nothing against each other. And their history shows that for centuries they lived in close proximity. At times, Iran had one of the largest Jewish population in the Middle East. And therefore, it is not in the culture of the Iranian people to have war with the Jewish people. The Iranians are not Arabs, and they are not even, they do not even share common borders, and they do not have territorial disputes. So why are we even involved in this war? This is the question you hear over and over from Iranians themselves.
Okay, with that, we'll take a quick break, and we have, let's see, we have Emmett, Helena, Dave, Nancy, Wingnut, and Jeff. All hanging on to talk about this. Of course, we'll be on till 10, and we are taking both hours to cover this. And again, a big thank you to Dr. Mehrdad Ki, who I know spent a sleepless weekend covering all this, not just for us, but also for the BBC and for news outlets all over the world, due to his expertise. And Dr. Michael Mayer also joining us here in the studio. We're going to come right back with more of this great conversation after this.
My name is Erica.
Okay, we are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. Again, we're discussing the Iranian attack on Israel with Dr. Mehrdad Ki, Dr. Michael Mayer here in the studio. And Emmett has been waiting the longest, and let's try to get him on right now. Emmett, good morning. You're on with our guests. Go ahead, please, sir.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I saw the whole thing on Saturday. Oh, yeah, unbelievable. I guess I just have two comments, two ideas to bring up. One, as predicted, the Biden administration is asking Israel to please show restraint. I think that is just horrible. I am a peacemaker. I've protested against the Iraq war. I've been involved in peacemaking activities. But this was an act of war against Israel by Iran. Iran has declared war against Israel, and they've always chanted death to America, death to Israel. And I think that the Israeli government should just be free to wage absolute war and even strike the nuclear facilities in Iran. If I were the president, I would say to Benjamin Netanyahu, just have at it, do whatever you need to. We're not going to get involved. I don't want to drag the United States into war. But as the president of the United States, just, I'm not going to fetter you with anything. Do what you feel is necessary, because this is a horrible attack and these people mean business. And my second comment is a religious one. In the Old Testament, there's a prophecy that the nations of the world will come against Israel in the last days, which is happening, you know, with Iran and all these others, and then there'd be something like a sea of fire against the vengeful nations, and the Lord Jesus would come back. I think I really believe that kind of biblical prophecy is being fulfilled. That's what Pat Robertson would say. As a Roman Catholic, I don't believe in the rapture. I don't. But I do believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying I know the day or the hour, but I think we absolutely need to pray, and that's all I got to say in the 2 minutes. I could speak for hours.
Emmett, thank you. Thanks for the call. Now, Mirdad, I know one of the things you and I have talked about is there are two Irans we're talking about here. Is that correct? The vast majority of the people of Iran, as opposed to the ruling regime of Iran. Is that correct?
Right. Exactly. And we have talked about this during the Global Hotspots, the program that Mike and I participate in every month. And I have been saying this, that I think our closest allies are, in fact, the people of Iran. I was actually very relieved and appreciative of the fact that several Israeli officials in the last 48 hours have made a similar comment that the enemy of Israel, but also the enemy of the people of Iran, is the same, and that is the Islamic regime. And Israel responding to the attack on its territory by the Islamic regime in Iran will not be an attack on the people of Iran. But, you know, I am guessing that when it comes, and I don't know if it will come very quickly, I think there are a lot of discussions. Israel is a democracy, and there is a great deal of back and forth among Israeli politicians to the point that the opposition party, Lapid, led by Mr. Lapid, actually has criticized Prime Minister Netanyahu, and he has basically said that he has brought Israel to the brink of war, and it's shameful and so on and so forth. But regardless of all that, I think there is a recognition among the Israelis that whatever Israel will do in the coming days, it will be very, very cognizant of the fact that it should not hit any civilian targets, and it should be a pinpoint strike against Iranian military installations, especially those from which Israel was attacked on Saturday.
All right, let's get another call in. This is Helena. Okay. Helena, good morning. You're on with Mirdad and Michael. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for taking my call. I had a little bit further question for Dr. Kia and Dr. Mayer about the reaction of the Iranian people, the so-called man on the street, woman on the street. Sometimes after these events that Iranian military is involved in or other things, we see these protests on the streets of Tehran that are supposedly in support of the action. They're usually very small crowds, but they don't mention that on the coverage. And I wondered if Dr. Kia especially could comment on how those protests actually come about. And the second question I had was about the reaction of the Arab world, the man and woman on the street in the Arab world, how they feel about the events of the weekend. Thank you.
Excellent questions. Thank you. Thanks, Helena. Go ahead, Mirdad.
Yeah, on the first question, I'm always reminded National Public Radio, NPR, had sent a reporter. This is back in, after Khomeini's death in late 80s. And there was a demonstration, and they were shouting death to America. And somebody asked, as the NPR reporter was about to start his report, somebody was asking in broken English, this is an Iranian, so where are you from? And he said, I'm from United States, kind of with great deal of hesitation and fear. And he said, oh, welcome to Iran. We'd love to have Americans with us. And he said, you were just shouting death to America. And then he produced the guy who was talking to NPR reporter and said, look, I received $10, a very nice lunch, and a very nice watermelon, which is favorite fruit of the Iranian people, to come and shout death to America. We were bossed here by the government, and we will shout whatever they ask us. You can have these demonstrations in Iran, and you should look at the numbers. Few hundred here, few hundred there. These are their own hired mobs and goons and thugs, which the Iranian regime mobilize as soon as they need to kind of put a show for the Western media and their own media outlets. And as soon as you look at them, the kind of, you know, clothing appearance, especially with men bearded and women veiled, you can tell these are not average Iranians. These are hired mobs and hired demonstrators who come every time the government needs them. So, you know, I was very surprised. I was, you know, switching from channel to channel. CNN showed a little bit of it, but also Fox was saying, Iranian people are demonstrating. They're not Iranian people. They are hired by the government to come for a few minutes and demonstrate in front of cameras, and then they go home and laugh at it behind the back of the government. The other thing, the Arab world actually showed, with the exception of Syria, of course, showed a great deal of unity with United States and Israel. I'm very happy to see that Jordan especially was very helpful in terms of joining Israel and United States as both countries tried to intercept these Iranian missiles coming. Saudi Arabia also condemned it openly. I think the rest of the Arab world is appalled by Iran's foreign policy, and they view Iran as the principal existential threat and not Israel. So ironically, Iran's foreign policy has brought Israel and the Arab world together against the common threat.
And with that, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we have Dave, Nancy, Mr. Wingnut, and Jeff all still waiting to visit, and at least another hour and 8 minutes to continue this conversation. We do have some of our phone lines open if you've been trying to get through. It's 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Back right after this.
This is
Dennis Bragg with your updated Town Square weather forecast. After near-record temperatures on the weekend, it's partly sunny skies and cooler today, with a few clouds at times and highs into the mid-60s. The main feature is going to be winds gusting as high as 25 miles per hour, and that will mean some very choppy conditions on Flathead Lake, so boaters should exercise caution. A repeat on Tuesday, a mix of sun and cloud, gusty winds cooling back to 50, then a chance of rain and higher elevation snow showers moves in Tuesday night into Wednesday across western Montana.
Hey, we are back on Talk Back. Let's try to get as many calls in as we can before the top of the hour. Oh, go, Michael, go ahead, please.
Just one point about Helena's first question. Over the weekend, Meredith showed me an image of someone, I forget which city it was in Iran, actually hanging an Israeli flag, and apparently it's not the only one. And when you think of the courage it takes to do that, given the regime, I think it really supports Meredith's point about the people not necessarily being on board with the foreign policy of the regime.
All right, let's see who's up next. This is Dave. Let's push the right button here, Peter. All right, Dave, good morning. You're on. What's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, first about Iran getting a nuclear bomb. You know, Obama put together a program with other countries to put inspectors in Iran. Sure, they had to pay some money for it, but they got the inspectors in there, and I felt personally safer that they were in there looking, trying to limit Iran's ability to get the bomb. But people like Netanyahu told us that if we pulled inspectors out and put big sanctions on the Iran government, it would fall apart in weeks. And so Trump did it, but it didn't happen. The Iran government is still there many years later, and they're getting closer and closer to the bomb. Now, the question in my mind is, okay, was the six people that Israel killed worth escalating this thing to where maybe Israel has to step in and send nuclear bombs to Iran and eliminate Iran as a country? I mean, is this all worthwhile? Is this acceptable? Or because they can do it. They can put Iran into the Stone Age. I mean, it's time to think about stop escalating, step-by-step escalating, and think about de-escalating and saying enough is enough.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. Gentlemen, go ahead.
First of all, the the Iran nuclear deal, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action that Dave referred to, pretty much would have ensured that by now Iran did have a bomb, which they may or may not. It is they're very close. I mean, we don't know exactly how close, but they're within pretty close distance, closer than they were during the period when Obama was in power. And I think, you know, that narration of events is a little bit off. The Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action put Iran on the path to a bomb, a legitimate bomb, in terms of international law. And it's also important that when you talk about the effectiveness of the sanctions and so on, Biden reversed them. It's been 3.5 years since this policy has been reversed. And so, blaming Trump for Iran's progress toward the bomb in that particular context, I think is misguided.
Mirdad, we have 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add a couple of things. I mean, I think it's very important for us, you know, to go beyond for a moment over what the Democrats or what the Republicans did and ask the fundamental question, who started this conflict between Iran and Israel? Israel was the country which actually secretly supplied Iran with arms and spare parts during the 8-year war between Iran and Iraq of Saddam Hussein. Israel was actually providing military aid to Iran to win its war against Saddam, because for the Israelis, the existential threat throughout their existence has been Arab nationalist governments. And they wanted, in fact, to neutralize the impact of these regimes like Saddam's by helping Iran. It was Iran which started demonstrations with folks coming to the streets and burning U.S. and Israeli flags. Anti-Semitism is in the DNA of this regime, and it is an ideological component. They are the ones who have been burning U.S. and Israeli flags. Death to America, death to Zionism, death to Israel, and so on and so forth. It's a conflict which is made up by Iran, and the result is what you see in front of you. I think blaming the victims in this case by saying Israel has been escalating is actually unfair in this case, because Israel was trying to become friendly to Iran, and Iran, that is the Iranian government, has rejected these approaches over and over and over again.
We have another hour of this conversation to go on. I want to say thank you for the patience of Nancy Wingnut and Jeff. We're going to have to hold you over through the top of the hour. We'll get you right after the top of the hour news. And several of those phone lines that were full are now open. So if you'd like to get in on this conversation, if you have a question or a comment, I know you probably have a question of some kind. These gentlemen are here to answer these. 721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5309. Probably you won't get anything like this anywhere else in the country, but right here on Talkback with these two gentlemen. So we appreciate their expertise. We will be back right after the top of the hour.
This is Talkback, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Welcome back. It's hour number two of the Monday Tax Day, April 15th edition of Talkback. Talkback this morning brought to you by Harrington Surgical Supply, where their mission remains the same, to restore confidence and comfort into your daily life. Also brought to you by Y West Storage, out at the Y, of course, on Two Smokes Way. Now, if you want to find out just how much it is for a storage unit, if they have one available for you, I'm sure they do, call 406-510-0590, because at Y West, they are making room for you. And by Phillips Janitorial, your house and your business need cleaning. Why not do it right? No job is too big or small for the professionals at Phillips. 406-260-6617.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Hey, welcome back to a special edition of TalkBack this morning. We've got Dr. Mirdad Kia on the phone from his office at the University of Montana. Dr. Michael Mayer joining us here in the studio this morning. And we're discussing what happened over the weekend with Iran sending missiles and drones into Israel. Fortunately, very little damage done, but a huge statement made. So, gentlemen, before we get to our callers, any opening statements for this hour? Mirdad, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to remind all our listeners once again that tomorrow we will have a major conference on the events in that part of the world, and it starts at 12:30. The first session is on Afghanistan, Chechnya, and Egypt. Then Mike and our friend Bob Seidenschwartz and myself will speak on the present crisis between Iran, Israel, Hamas, and the roles of United States and Russia at 2 o'clock. And then at 3:30, we will have our friend Jennifer Warren to talk about the impact of the conflict on the energy the shortage or the rising price of energy, probably. And that session is moderated by our friend Bob Seidenschwartz. Then at 7 o'clock, we will have a major presentation on the relationship between United States and India and what the role of India will be in the context of this conflict as well. And that's a presentation by the highest Indian diplomat in Northwest United States. All of these events are, as I mentioned, open and free to the public. And they will be held at University Center Theater, which is on the third floor of the University Center building at the University of Montana. And so please feel free to join us. We would love to have you.
All right, let's get right back to the phones. I want to say thank you, a special thank you to Nancy. She has been waiting a long time. Nancy, thank you for your patience. What's your question for our hosts this morning?
And good morning. The last time that we talked, I mentioned, I asked you if you thought the globalists were in part behind this assault on Israel. And I found out something interesting, that Secretary of State Antony Blinken's family are globalists. His parents, Barry and Donald Blinken, are big contributors to George Soros' Open Society. So I'm convinced that the globalists are greatly involved here in this attack against Israel and their sovereignty. But I agree that the protesters in this country are paid protesters because I believe that the population just in Michigan alone is like only 2.3% of people from the Middle East. And, it was horrible to hear death to America. So I just kind of wanted to follow up on our last conversation, and thank you so much.
All right, thanks for the call, Nancy.
Mike, please.
I don't have much to add to that. What about you, Mirdad?
Yeah, so I think in some ways the United States attitude, especially during this administration, but also during the Obama administration, has been shaped by an agenda which basically believes that United States and the European Union need to appease Iran rather than engage in a conflict with the Islamic regime. And they have tried. And this is not the first or the second time. It has been tried over and over and over again. Of course, there are individuals like Secretary of State Antony Blinken and the person at the helm of the Iran-U.S. Negotiations, Robert Malley, who were insistent that with enough incentives, with sufficient number of incentives, the foreign policy of Iran can be changed and moderated. And especially a person like Robert Malley, who believes that not only the Islamic regime in Iran, but even Hamas have a legitimate right to be anti-American, because the United States has played a negative role in the region, and therefore we have to allow these folks to be anti-American, but at the same time negotiate with them. All of this, yes, is supported by individuals such as George Soros. And again, if you want to learn more about it, you can go actually to their website, the Crisis Group, as it's called. And it is that group which actually hired Iranians who worked with the regime and who are sympathetic to the regime, but are interested in somehow establishing a close tie between this regime and Washington. And they have been recruited to actually facilitate this interaction between Washington and Tehran.
With that, we're up again. Oh, go ahead, Mike, please.
Just real quickly, I mean, to add to what Meredith said, Malley has been suspended because, he's being investigated by the FBI for inappropriately or improperly releasing or giving documents to the Iranians. And the people Mehrdad mentioned, he's brought in, who had links to the Iranian government, the Iranian experts. Was it IG, Iranian Experts Group, is it, Mehrdad?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, who Malley brought in. And I think part of what Mehrdad was talking about is very, very important, which is the sense that some of the top people in the Biden administration, I particularly put Blinken there, but also Sullivan and perhaps Biden himself, is a sense that they act in the Middle East and often in the rest of the world in a way they think the world should be and how people they think should respond, rather than with a kind of a cold eye toward the realities of the world.
So they're going by the playbook.
Well, they're going by what they think it should be, and right. and I think that they're, part of this comes from living in a bubble.
All right. Up with that, we're up against a break. We're going to come right back, and I promise we are going to get Wingnut and Jeff both on in the next segment. But all of our other phone lines are open if you've been trying to get through and have not been able to. If you want to be a part of this conversation, the phone lines are open. We'll be here till 10, so we'd love to hear from you. It's 721-1290, coming right back after this.
Hey there, Dennis Bragg with your updated Town Square weather forecast. After near record temperatures on the weekend, it's partly sunny skies and cooler today with a few clouds at times and highs into the mid-60s. The main feature is going to be winds gusting as high as 25 miles per hour, and that will mean some very choppy conditions on Flathead Lake, so boaters should exercise caution. A repeat on Tuesday, a mix of sun and cloud, gusty winds cooling back to 50, then a chance of rain and higher elevation snow showers moves in Tuesday night into Wednesday across western Montana.
And we are back on TalkBack, 721-1290. That's our number, and more folks are calling in. Dr. Mehrdad Kia on the phone with us right now from the University of Montana. Dr. Michael Mayer here in the studio talking about the situation that occurred over the weekend as Iran attacked Israel with drones and missiles, the vast majority of which were exploded in air. And so we're talking about the aftermath and what's happening right now. Let us get, let's see, Mr. Wingnut is on line 3. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for your patience. What is on your mind?
Well, this is what's on my mind. First, Peter, you're doing a yeoman's job.
We're trying. Thank you.
Secondly, as a preface, I would like to revisit Bob Seidenschwartz's program from last week. And first by saying, kudos to him for actually splitting the program between two political views, if you will. And I appreciated that. But on the one of the guests was a lady who I'm going to say Gio Como or something like that, who appeared to be a refugee from the Clinton State Department and is a contributor to the New York Times. And she spent several of the calls answering in basically excoriating Trump and heaping praise on the Obama and Biden administrations. But I thought about this as God is my judge over the, you know, prior to what happened over the weekend. And I thought about proposing a different metric instead of just talk when we want to compare the results on the ground of the two administrations. And when we had Obama administration in, you know, Russia invaded Ukraine. And we saw, as a lot of this has been talked about this morning already, but the support for Iran, the plane loads of cash, the nuclear program support that was going on. And then we had Trump. And for those years, things were relatively, you know, quiet. And then Biden comes into office. And again, we have Russia invading Ukraine. We have the resumption of acquiescence to Iranian policies. We see Israel is invaded by Hamas. We see the Houthis are shooting missiles at Israel and blocking shipping lanes. And now, over the weekend, we have Iran invading Israel. And so I think when we are pragmatic about it and we look at the results on the ground, that there is a stark difference between the two administrations. And I'm going to ask for your feedback on that. And secondly, as a pragmatic approach, you know, this is an election year, and we can put those things into consideration when we go out to vote. Lastly, for the gentleman who called Zinke a goofball, you know, basically he has an isolationist viewpoint of the world, and in the hard reality is someone is going to be the world's policeman, and. You know, over the last few decades, Western societies have basically been the world's policemen. And the huge effect of that has been the openness of global shipping lanes and for countries all across the world. And we see what happens when that Western influence starts to break down. With the Houthis and the pirates from Somalia and whatnot. So my two questions are, you know, your response on all that. And secondly, what is your assessment of the best response of Israel to Iran? And I know that's just kind of a out there question.
All right. Thanks for the call, sir. Gentlemen, Mirdad, you want to go first on that? Go ahead, please.
Mike should go first.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
Because on the election, I think the election, that's a very legitimate position.
It is. I think Mr. Nutt raised a number of interesting and important points. I think the big shift in that the Obama administration represented was the idea that, as Mehrdad has made reference to earlier, that Iran had legitimate grievances and that he would be kind of the Nixon goes to China. He would establish relations and bring Iran into the community of nations, which again I think is to a certain extent a misreading of facts on the ground in Iran. But that geopolitical shift was fundamentally important. Not only did it lead to the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, as people call it, but it also led to alienating American allies in Israel. It led to the alienation of the Saudis, who were also very concerned about the prospect of the Iranians developing a bomb. And so I think that is an important point. As to the best response, boy, if I knew that, I wouldn't be here talking to Peter. I'd be out somewhere selling that. But I think that the options that are available would be one to hit very hard and make it clear that there's a penalty. It hurts if you strike at Israel. Another would be to wait and to see, and then yet another would be the one advocated by Biden and his administration, which is for the Israelis to, as they're constantly urging, show restraint and in this case, not hit back. Each one has something to recommend. Each one also has risks and drawbacks.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it might be of some interest to our callers to know that, in fact, President Obama himself admitted so much as that the negotiations with Iran prevented the United States from lending its support to the Green Movement in Iran, which erupted with millions of people on the streets. President Obama refused to lend his support to the movement, which was peaceful and was calling for the change of government. Very recently, in fact, he admitted that this was a major mistake in his foreign policy, and the United States should have supported the people of Iran in their movement against the government. But why didn't we do it? The reason was simple, is because we were negotiating. And we were negotiating secretly, and we had basically tied our own hands. That's one thing which is very important. As for the response to that Israel has, it would be also interesting, I think, for some of our listeners to know that, in fact, it is the left in Israel which is advocating a very hard hit against Iran. Their argument is that, in fact, Netanyahu has dragged his feet even in attacking Hamas. That is, he should have attacked Hamas immediately with maximum force, that Israel's defense forces are most effective when they attack right away and they hit with maximum impact. It's very interesting. That's a leftist position in Israel today.
Tell you what, we're like 2 minutes past a break. I apologize for breaking in. We're going to come right back. We have, let's see who else. We have, I believe, Jeff, who actually got hung up on. We apologize for that. So we're going to get him on when we come back after this quick timeout. So stay with us. We are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. On the phone, of course, Dr. Mirdad Kia here in the studio, Dr. Michael Mayer. And this time, we're going to get Jeff on. Let me just push this button here. There we go. Jeff, good morning. You're on with our guests. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning. I don't know why it dropped. I don't blame you, Pete. the vagaries of Verizon.
No, you can if you want. That's all right. I'm man enough to take it. But go ahead.
No. One quick question, or one quick point, and then two questions. The point is that the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Inaction, as I call it, did nothing but give Iran a legitimate path to a nuclear weapon. And the ink had barely dried on the agreement when they were found to have a covert nuclear program that they had not disclosed to the IAEA. So it was not ever going to be anything other than a, you can have a weapon just slower than we, thought you should have. So you can comment on that if you want. But the two questions, first of all, you talked about the people of Iran versus the government. And my first question is, has the Biden White House or State Department shown any inclination of changing its approach to the Iranian people to help them overthrow this despotic totalitarian government? And then the second question is a little bit off topic, but it's something that's been bothering me a lot, and that's the effect of Russian propaganda on our Congress, particularly with regards to Ukraine. I mean, you have Tommy Tuberville from Tennessee, I believe it is, who's talking about, how Russia wants to peace and it's Iran, Ukraine who wants war. And he's just spouting Russian propaganda lines. So and that really disturbs me that the Republicans, even to an extent Matt Rosendale, find themselves spouting this nonsense. So is there anything you want to say on that as well?
All right. Jeff, thanks for the call. Gentlemen, please go ahead. Mike.
Well, I think a couple of things. One is that, again, as you go back, Mehrdad mentioned the Green Revolution, which I think is a really important point in American policy in the Middle East, and particularly toward Iran, which was, I mean, obviously, it's not the place of the American government to decide who governs Iran necessarily, but when you have the people expressing discontent and rising up, American support. And when you have a regime that's not cooperative and all the rest, you would think would be more toward the people who are seeking democracy in Iran. And it wasn't then. And then, of course, in the massive demonstrations we had, Merida, what was that, a year or two ago? Once again missed an opportunity to support forces for democracy in Iran. And this isn't to say that the United States should have sent troops or overthrown the Iranian government, but when you have massive discontent, rather than throwing your lot with the tyrannical government, it would seem that support for the other side would be in order. And in fact, the only regime in the Middle East where the Biden administration has called for regime change is Israel, or at least Democrats in Schumer's case, and Biden lent his support to that. So I think that they're not only missed opportunities, I think they're missed guesses on that. And then the only thing I'd say about Tuberville is he's from Alabama. Look, I taught at the University of Alabama many years ago, so I lived there. I think that a number of people have come to question and most of them are on the Republican right, have come to question the wisdom of United States aid for Ukraine. And I think in many cases that leads people to go over the line and attribute benign intentions to the other side.
Yeah. So on the Ukrainian side, I've said this, I think, in the past. I have also expressed my not only opposition but disgust with, you know, interviews such as the one conducted by Tucker Carlson with Putin, you know, almost trying to, you know, display or at least demonstrate a more humane, you know, version of Putin. These are really appalling, I would say. People are fighting for their sovereignty and independence from an aggressor, from not only just an aggressor, from a fascist aggressor. That's, yes, you just heard it. I called Vladimir Putin a fascist, which he is. He's an ultra-Russian nationalist, and he wants to take away the independence of Ukraine by aggression, by occupation, by invasion. And it is incumbent upon the Western Alliance, United States and its allies in Europe, to stand up. If we do not stand up, it will be the turn of Poland, the Baltic states, and other vulnerable countries in Eastern Europe, and it will be far more costly. As far as Iran is concerned and the demonstrations, please compare the reaction that President Obama showed to a few thousand people showing up at Tahrir Square in Cairo, Egypt, during the Arab Spring. What happened is that Mr. Obama picked up the phone, called President Mubarak of Egypt, and asked him to step down. Right? Why? Because a few thousand people were demonstrating in Cairo, Egypt. There were 2.5 million, 2.5 million people on the streets of Tehran for several days, calling for the end to the regime. And President Obama refused to lend his support. Now tell me why. And the State Department, the United States government, knows how unpopular this government is and how democratic-minded the people of Iran are. There are not a few thousand in Tahrir Square. There are millions of people who have called for the overthrow of this regime. And the overwhelming majority of Iranians oppose any form of U.S. military intervention. They do not want a single U.S. Marine, soldier, commander, officer on their soil. They have asked for technological support. Yep. They have asked for free access to internet and other means to communicate among themselves. And we have refused to provide any support. And to just the last comment, because Mike mentioned it, the slogan for the last movement, which brought hundreds of thousands of Iranians, was women, life, freedom. Right? So you expect somebody like our vice president, who is very, you know, pro-women and feminist and so on and so forth, to at least release a statement that we stand with the women of Iran as they ask for the change of government and removal of a regime which has imposed the most draconian rules and restrictions on Iranian women. Well, I'm still waiting.
All right. With that, we're, again, a little bit past the break. We're going to come right back. We have Joe, Helena, and Dave. Helena and Dave, both return callers. We're going to come right back and get their comments after this. Okay, we're back, and let's get right back to it here. We've got, I believe, Joe, new caller. Joe, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Please go ahead. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Last week, you had a journalist on from Bob Seidenswartz, and I believe she said that the reason that Iran is getting closer to a nuclear weapon is because of Trump pulling out of the arrangement. And then I believe she also went on to say that the sanctions weren't working, basically. And I thought either she's ignorant, but I don't know where Bob Seidenswartz comes up with these people like Mark Gelis. And, it's a little disappointing. But the question is, do you agree with that statement that, you know, Trump pulling out of the nuclear negotiations with Iran is the cause of downfall? And then of the negotiations, and what about this? Is it $700 million or $700 billion in oil money that Iran has made since Biden came into office, where it was $3 billion under Trump?
Okay.
Straighten that out.
Let's let him answer that. And we have exactly 3 minutes, Mirdad, before you have to take a break. So go ahead.
Well, Mike, why don't you go ahead and I will follow Mike after the break.
Yeah, I think basically to say that that the reason that Iran is closer to a nuclear bomb because Trump pulled out is just misguided or inaccurate. Iran was moving toward a nuclear bomb before, during, and after the Trump administration. And so I don't think that accurately portrays the situation. But beyond that, the sanctions did have bite, and they weren't perfect. There were violations and all the rest. But Iran's ability to generate sales from oil and other things was greatly reduced. They were still working on their nuclear program, but they were broke at the end of the Trump administration, and the relief from sanctions and other things have enabled them to pour money into Hamas, Hezbollah, and their own armament, which I think is a policy that has been counterproductive.
So is it 700 million or 700 billion, Mirdad?
No, it's in millions, and it was $7
billion. $7 billion, thank you.
$7 billion that the Biden administration released, but they have sold billions of dollars, as Mike mentioned, in the oil and energy markets after they were allowed to sell oil. Much of it was sold to China. This is the irony of the situation. We let loose the sanctions on the Islamic regime in Iran. They go to the oil markets, to the gas markets. They sell their oil and energy in the international markets. For the most part, it's the Chinese. They make a lot of cash. They were flush with cash, actually. And with that cash, which we allowed them to make, they went to Russia, China, and themselves to build more weaponry. And that weaponry was sent to Lebanon for Hezbollah, to Gaza by Hamas, and to Yemen, to the Houthis. Plus, by the way, we don't mention them, but Hashd al-Shaabi, their biggest proxy in Iraq. Remember, some of these missiles against Israel were fired from inside Iraq by the proxies of Iran. So all of these are what the Iranian government called, the circle of fire around Israel. So if Iran feels threatened by Israel, all these proxies, which are really not proxies, but an extension of Iran's security and military forces. They are unleashed against Israel.
And with that, we're going to come right back after this break. And we still have Helena and Dave waiting patiently for to get their points across. Several other phone lines are open, by the way, at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Still another 18 minutes left in this great conversation. And you folks are adding a lot, and we appreciate every one of your calls. So we'll be right back after this.
If spring allergies keep...
Hey, we're back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. We have Dr. Mirdad Kia on the phone, Dr. Michael Mayer here in the studio, and we promised we would get our callers in just as soon as possible, so let's do that right now. And Helena, thank you so much for holding. You are on TalkBack. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. I had a follow-up question to my previous one. I know that there's quite a bit of vigorous discussion in Israel regarding Netanyahu and his policies. What do your guests think will be the effect of this weekend on the internal politics of Israel? Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Helena.
Yeah, thanks very much. That's another very good question. It's hard. Yeah, obviously, it's hard to say. I think a couple of things. Netanyahu was has always been a controversial figure, and has more so in recent years, and particularly this last his most recent term as prime minister. In order to be able to govern, he had to form a coalition with the right in Israel, which has made him a target for criticism from the left. And I think that his the proposed judicial reforms, which we've talked about before on World Hotspots, was very divisive, very controversial, although ironically many on the left had also been critical of Israel's Supreme Court. He looked like he was in a great deal of political trouble. When the events of October 7th happened, people rallied. If I had to make a guess, I would say that people would rally behind him for the course of the war, and then eventually sometime after that, he would probably pay a price for being in power when that happened. And I think that that was likely to happen even more so because the war dragged on. And then this weekend, I think just is another rehearsal of the same dynamic. The Israeli cabinet is unified that there must be a response there. They're very disunified, apparently, about what that response should be. But you see things like Benny Gantz going to Washington, being invited to Washington. Gantz is a member of the government, a member of the wartime cabinet, and yet is an opponent of Netanyahu's. And he went to Washington against Netanyahu's wishes, and really in an attempt to undermine Netanyahu. It's hard to tell, but it's very if the polls that I've read are anything like accurate, Israel's likely to change government at their next election. It looks like it's most likely Benny Gantz's party.
Mirdad.
Yeah, and I think the Biden administration has made no secret that they will do everything in their power to support Netanyahu's opponents. And Yair Lapid, who is now one of the principal opponents, he was actually in Washington while Israel was attacked by Iran. But he came back and he made a statement, very controversial, that Netanyahu and his government had become an existential threat to Israel. And then the Likud party, basically Netanyahu's base, responded by accusing Lapid of hypocrisy and criticizing him for spending the weekend abroad while Israel was attacked by Iran. And so it's Israel. You know, it's pretty intense in terms of political debates. It is a functioning democracy, and that's how a functioning democracy operates. But I think that despite his best efforts, Netanyahu is probably on his way out eventually. And I agree with Mike that it's probably not Lapid, but Benny Gantz who will emerge as the victor.
All right, let's get another call in. Skip just called. Of course, we try like to put our new callers first, so let's push this button here. Skip, good morning. You're on with Mirdad and Michael. Go ahead, please.
And thank you, Peter, and good morning, Dr. Keita and Dr. Meir.
Morning.
Thank you for helping us get through all this. We are taking our eye possibly, I mean, maybe not, but possibly taking our eye off the ball of other things that are sitting out there possibly waiting to happen because of what's happening in Israel. Is there some things that we also, that our countries hopefully...
Hi, Susan.
You know,
we'll get you on ASAP. Okay, stand by.
For instance, what's going on with China and Taiwan, or what's going on with maybe North Korea, tormenting Japan by, you know, lobbing some missiles here and there for practice, or anything that's going on maybe between India and Pakistan. Anything we also need to keep our eye on and beware of and not lose sight of as this is going on, and how will it affect us domestically, especially with our open border? Just in case that sparks a thought to something other than what's happening right now in Israel. Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. And gentlemen, we are just about 30 seconds short of a break, so we'll have both of you come back on that. We also have Susan waiting, and we're going to try to get Dave's a second call on, if we have time, before the top of the hour. And again, you guys always hit it out of the park for us. Thank you for all your calls. We'll continue with more Talk Back here in just a moment.
Hey, boo. Have a honey.
Welcome back. Just a few precious minutes left. Gentlemen, responding to the previous call. Gentlemen, go ahead. Michael.
Well, Skip actually identified some of the things that that need to be in the mind of American policymakers, Taiwan in particular. I think China is particularly happy to see the United States distracted by Ukraine and by Israel and Iran and so on while they're contemplating taking Taiwan militarily. And I think that's one of the main areas, but there are always a lot of areas to pay attention to. There are things going on in Latin America, and North Korea is another place that Skip mentioned. And domestically, I think, you know, he raised an important point. We, given the events, in the Middle East and elsewhere, there are risks associated with having an open, effectively an open border on the southern border and so on. And all of these things are things that need to be kept in mind while we should not ignore, obviously, Ukraine, Israel and Iran and all the other things going on in the world.
And in my opinion, this is just me, Mirdad and Michael, that's why it's important to have an administration that is aware enough and capable enough to handle things on a multitude of fronts. I think we don't have that right now. So that's just my opinion. Mirdad, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely correct. You just hit the nail on the head. And I'm so impressed by Skip's question because it actually addresses the big issue. What happens to the United States when Washington is distracted and overwhelmed by a crisis in the Middle East? If I may venture in that direction, let us not forget that Iran's closest military ally is Russia. Iran has also provided drones to Putin, and those drones are being used as we speak against the people of Ukraine. I do not hesitate to say that the attack by Hamas against Israel on October 7th, 1923, was not only funded and armed by Iran, but greatly encouraged by Russia. Why? Because it is a distraction from Ukraine and Russia's involvement. As Mike mentioned, it is also greatly appreciated by China, because it prevents the United States from focusing on China's aggression against Taiwan. So both Russia and China support Iran, and through Iran, which is acting like a proxy of Russia and China, they're actually creating a major distraction in the Middle East for the United States. It's a bit of a revenge time, basically, in Beijing and Moscow as a retaliation against United States support for Taiwan and United States support for Ukraine.
Okay, let's get Susan on the line. Susan, thanks for holding. You're on with Mirdad and Michael. Go ahead, please.
Well, first off, I think that
the turmoil across the world, and for that matter in the United States, is a direct result of the lack of leadership at the top, also in Congress. I think Joe Biden is a very obviously weak leader, which is being tested by the evil in this world. And on April 28th, Donald J. Trump Jr. is going to be coming to the University of Montana at 1 p.m. and talking about this and many other things that make it a reasonable conclusion that maybe it's time for Joe Biden to retire permanently, along with some of our elected officials coming in that are conservatives. And I am very pleased that Donald J. Trump Jr. is coming to the University of Montana, to what I call the belly of the beast of liberalism, because I think it's important for a dialogue to take place. And there are tickets available, and I hope people will listen to him and ask him questions. He's coming on his own dime to chat with people and exchange polite conversation with people. And I think Miradad has hit the nail on the head that we have a very weak president that is encouraging our enemies to rise up. They weren't rising up under Donald Trump. And I'd like to have his comment about, I am appalled at how Schumer and the Democrats are treating Israel right now. I'd like to have his comment about that.
All right. Thanks for the call. And you know what? That's going to be have to be the last caller, because we only have 3 minutes left in our program. So, Mirdad, please go ahead.
No, I appreciate the call and comments by Susan. I have always, as Susan and others know, I've always opposed another military adventure in the Middle East, and I am a very strong advocate of peaceful coexistence and peaceful recognition. However, when you are dealing with states, governments, which openly call for destruction of Israel, which openly call for destruction of the United States, which receive arms from Russia and China to supply terrorist organizations, I think our response should be very strong. And I think what we did, for example, in eliminating Qasem Soleimani in 2020, I believe it was January, was actually a right call. Sometimes we have to respond with strength, determination, and assertion that we are a power, and this power needs to stand with our allies. Israel is an ally. Saudi Arabia is an ally. Jordan is an ally. Egypt is an ally. Persian Gulf states, for the most part, are allies of United States. And United States need to make it very clear to governments like Iran that if you violate their sovereignty and attack them in any shape or form, we will stand with our allies against your attacks.
And in 30 seconds, how about 30 seconds on the conference that starts tomorrow, Mirdad, please?
Yeah, the conference will start tomorrow at 12:30 at University Center Theater. At University of Montana, University Center Theater is on the third floor of University Center building. Mike, our friend Bob Seidenschwartz, and myself will have a panel on this conflict between Israel and Iran at 2 o'clock. And then at 3:30, we have our friend Jennifer Warren talking about the energy issues with regard to this conflict. And then at 7, we will have India's highest diplomat, joining us for a very, what promises to be a very interesting talk on India's relationship with the United States and also its role in the region.
Gentlemen, I want to say thank you to both of you for taking all the calls. All of our callers, your calls were, your questions and comments were great. That's what this show's all about. It's all about you, and you guys, again, help us enormously with your calls and comments. Mirdad and Michael, thank you again. Appreciate it. And what's coming up on tomorrow's fabulous program? Well, I'll tell you. It's all about politics tomorrow. We have Robin Driscoll from the Democratic Party, Don Kay with the Republican Party, and Troy Downing, our current state auditor and insurance commissioner, who's also running for Congress. All that's coming up between 8 and 10 on Tuesday's Talkback Show. So again, thanks to Mirdad and Michael for being with us this morning. You guys get out there and enjoy this spectacular day. And of course, we've got Dan Bongino coming up. Ace.